Welcome to the Mental Dietitian Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Lynch Potter, just a guy who's trying to live a great life and learn the best way to live it. This show is for the everyday human being that feels exactly how I feel, and every week I will bring you weekly episodes on how to get better mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and financially so you can have a great mental diet. Welcome back to the Mental Dietitian Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Lynch Potter. And today's episode is about sales. So I am currently in the process of building a course, a workshop called Soul-Centered Selling. And I wanted to share some of the things from this course on this episode for two reasons. Number one, reasons to basically create a brainstorming session for me on a podcast, because I'm putting this together right now. I'm presenting it to a group of coaches in the psychedelic space, the kind of transformational coaching space, in 3 weeks from now. Very nervous slash excited about it. A lot of stuff has come up for me while I'm doing this course. A lot of stuff around me not finishing school and things like that. It's very interesting. Second reason is so you can learn something about what soul-centered selling is and why selling anything, or why coming from this place in any interaction with another human being, is the only way that I see that the sales industry will transform from, honestly, quite a toxic environment. I've been in sales for 10 years now, and there's so much toxicity in it. I've seen a lot of people sell with no integrity at all, and I've done it many, many times myself. Many, many times. I know what it's like to sell something, to lie, to manipulate, to connive, to influence somebody in a certain direction that honestly doesn't feel good for me. And that's the real compass here. Does it feel good for you? Does it feel good for you? And the only way to really judge this, the whole premise of soul-centered selling, here it is. This is principle one. This is basically how I start this course, is that principle number one is the deeper you know you and your own emotions, the more you can recognize them in others. Why is this important? Here's an example, and I've seen this hundreds of times with salespeople. And this is particularly salespeople that have not explored their own anger, their own fear, their own shame, their own sadness, like the heavier emotions, let's call them that. Here's an example. You have a customer that is not happy with you, and they're reaching out to you. The sale's already happened. They've already got something. They've already got the vehicle. They've already bought the thing, the couch, the personal training, whatever it is. They're reaching out to you because they're not happy. They're not happy. A lot of salespeople, I've seen this so many fucking times, and it's a lack of integrity, but I also see it as it's a lack of this salesperson. This person has not explored these with emotions within themselves. So when a client or a customer or whatever other label salespeople use to describe another human being is expressing an emotion that they have not explored within themselves, and they're projecting it onto them, they don't like that. They'll ignore them. They're not happy with something about the vehicle that they bought, or they're not happy with something about the product that they bought. A lot of salespeople literally ignore the client, or they avoid, or they take a long time to text back, or they'll constantly push them off and be like, oh, I'll have somebody look at it. Rather than facing the problem head on and being like, I hear you're unhappy, what can we do about it? Because if you handle it like that, and you can actually navigate the waters of somebody else's rage or somebody else's anger, and you can stay regulated, and you can realize that, hey, this is actually an opportunity to deepen this relationship with this other human being versus avoiding and backing away, which actually amplifies the problem. You're turning a molehill into a mountain. It's like one of the guys I work with says it's kind of like an infection. If you just ignore it, it gets worse and worse and worse. And a lot of people ignore their own emotions. So when somebody that you have sold something to is really not happy, a business, a person, whatever it is, and you don't meet them head on, then you're actually avoiding an emotion that is going to be created within you because it's going to be uncomfortable. That's the whole point of this soul-centered selling. That's principle one. The more you can know yourself, the more you can navigate the waters with others, whether it's customers, whether you're selling business to consumer, whether you're selling business to business, whether or not you're a human being at all that is not even within sales and you're going for a promotion at work, for example, and you're going to go in there and you maybe don't ask for the promotion for fucking years because you're like, oh, well, I'm scared of feeling this feeling that I will feel by interacting with this other human being, because that's what it really is. That's what it stems down to. So, principle one, do your own inner work. If you do not do your own inner work, and if you are not able to develop relationships with your own emotions as if they were friends, as in anger comes up in your life, you're like, hello, anger. What do you have to teach me today? Hello, shame. What's going on? Why am I feeling this? Hello, resistance. Hello, sadness. Hello, joy. Hello to all of you. What can you teach me today? Rather than taking a pill or whatever, or avoiding the emotion, sit with it. Because the deeper you sit with it, the more you'll be able to navigate your sales career, life, whatever. The more you expand on the inside, the more you expand on the outside. And I don't hear many people talking about this in the sales industry. That's why I truly believe that some of the stuff that I'm going to talk about here today is going to revolutionize people's understanding. It's going to revolutionize people's understanding of how you can sell, how it goes about, and how you can actually approach each individual interaction from a soul-centered place, not a place that feels... Let me say this. This is what I wrote down, and this is the best way of saying before I get too excited. I can feel myself getting all excited, and sometimes when I get excited, I go on rants and I ramble. When you are selling something to somebody, it should feel like the start of a new friendship versus a cold one-off transaction. You should be selling something that feels great versus selling something with that aftertaste of shame because you know you might have lied or not be of integrity or not told them the whole truth just so you could get them to buy the thing. And then on the back end, if they find out about that, that's not a very nice feeling because now you are exposed for being out of integrity. I've done that fucking hundreds of times and it doesn't feel good. And for the past few years, I've been in sales 10 years. It took me about 7 years of the feel of navigating that into those interactions with people, knowing like, hey, this feels really good. And hey, that didn't feel so good. Why didn't that feel so good? And I could backtrack and I could be like, oh, you're out of integrity there. So that's what soul-centered selling. That's principle one, is the deeper you know yourself, the more you do your own inner work, the more you expand on the inside, the more you can notice if somebody's fearful versus being like, oh, this customer's being a bitch. I've heard people say that. Well, why are they being, in quotations, a bitch? Are you able to notice that they may be scared? They may be unsure about something. Maybe you're not in a safe place. Maybe you're reactive when they come up with something. Maybe they just want to ask questions so they can feel safe. Are you able to realize that, hey, I'm selling this person something. They want all the information. I am able to be regulated. Am I able to be a proper human being that's actually regulated and knows my own emotions? So that they're not going to trigger something within me, so I end up reacting towards them and screwing the whole thing up. And I've seen that so many times, and I've done it myself. Another principle that I'll share with you is that a lot of people who are in sales, they are very scared of the sales process. They are scared of going over numbers. They're just scared of the actual entire thing because it can be uncomfortable, especially if you're asking for large amounts of money. Like I've sold the most expensive item I've sold has probably been like a 1 ton truck, like $120,000, $130,000 truck. The payments are around 800 to 900 every 2 weeks. When you're going over these numbers with somebody, if you are fearful or if you're not confident within yourself, then how can somebody buy into you if you don't even buy into yourself? And the only way to do that is to actually do it more. It's like exposure therapy. The only way to really get comfortable with these things is to do the thing. But I will say that a lot of people I've seen in sales are nice. They're very nice. And they end up being like, absolutely. And they end up being like very customer servicey. People don't want nice. People want kind. So a lot of those principles of soul-centered selling that I'll share with you, I'm not going to give it all away. This is going to be a full-blown course one day. It's going to have a website. It's taking time. But I will share this one. It's be kind, not nice. What does that mean in the sales process? I know people that will recommend certain amounts of, say it's personal training. Say it's personal training. And the person's like, the objection is, oh, I just want to do a few sessions with you so I can learn the ropes and then I can go do it on my own. Now, the nice thing to say would be like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. That's not nice. That's actually being scared of telling this person the truth. If somebody wants to do six personal training sessions with you over a month or even 2 months, that's not going to help the person. Here's why it's not going to help the person. If that person is overweight and it took them 20 years to get there, to get to this place where they finally got the courage and they finally looked at themselves and said, hey, you know what? I need to make a change. I need to do something different. It took them 10 years, 5 years, 20 years. Who knows how long it took them to get there? Do you really think, if you are the salesperson, do you really think that you can learn anything? Anything at all that will create long-lasting change in 6 sessions, 6 hours. Because if you are not sharing what I'm sharing right now with the client, you're actually doing them a disservice. So when I sold personal training, I would quite often sell 6 to 12 months. And do you know why? It's because I would say exactly what I just said. I'd be like, listen, what did you have for lunch 5 Wednesdays ago? Or I don't know. Well, why would you remember what I teach you 2 months from now? Karen, it took you 20 years to get here. For you to actually be serious about this, and if you're dead serious about wanting to make a change in your life, this is going to take a minimum of a year. Rome wasn't built in a day, but it was built every day. And if we constantly are working 3 to 4 sessions a week, then you actually be able to learn and compound what I'm teaching you so that in a year from now, you have the foundations, you'll have a knowledge while I educate you on how the human body works. And I can explain on my end what I'm looking to do so that when we're doing this together, you can actually be educated. So one day we can look at each other and you'll be like, you know what? I don't need you anymore. I don't want to build a codependent relationship with you, Karen. But I understand from my knowledge, it's going to take you at least a year to get the foundational things that you need to actually get the job that you want to get done. So in 10 years from now, you don't need anybody. You can go to the gym, you can feel confident and know exactly what you're doing. Now, there's so many people who are like, oh, well, that's a lot of money for the person. Yeah, but I think it's out of integrity, in my opinion, to recommend somebody that somebody trains for a month, take their money on something that is not going to even affect them long term. It's like diet mentality. I've had this mentality with selling vehicles, with selling personal training, with selling coaching, right? While I do this right now, I'm selling coaching at the moment for my own business. I'm like, listen, if you've been battling depression and anxiety for this long, do you think you're going to do some ketamine infusions or you're going to go drink some ayahuasca or you're going to go do some psilocybin or go to a men's weekend or a women's weekend or whatever it may be? And do you really think that that's the magic pill? Because if you're going into it with that mindset, That is what I call the addiction mindset. And the addiction mindset is, if I do this thing, it'll fix everything. If I take this thing that I'm looking for is the answer. It's the quick fix. It's the big dick pill. It's the get skinny quick pill. It's the Ponzi scheme. It's the lose 40 pounds in 40 days kind of mentality. And that's not how life works. So if you can be kind to people, but not nice, being kind to somebody is telling them the truth, even on the off chance you might offend them. Because if you are scared of telling somebody the truth on the off chance you are going to offend them, you're actually hurting that person, not helping them. So if you're a selling personal training, if you're selling coaching, if you're selling anything, and you're basically, one of the objections is, oh, I don't have enough money. Okay, but if I sell you this inferior product, or if I sell you this short-term training, and don't get me wrong, there's times for this. And there's places, you don't want to be too pushy with it. Somebody might be like, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I just can only commit to 2 months right now. Perfect. Let's get you started. And as long as you understand the concept, I understand you need to see the value in it first, but once you see the value in it, then we can create a game plan, but we can work together for a year. That could be some kind of service-based business or some kind of ongoing coaching, personal training, whatever it may be, some kind of relationship-based model. Now, when it comes to more of a one-off transaction like buying a vehicle, why don't you recommend the more expensive vehicle based on the longevity of, or the better quality vehicle? Sometimes it might not be more expensive. Sometimes somebody might want a inferior quality product. Sometimes they might want that. It is your duty and your obligation to be like, hey, this is what I think about that product. I just want you to know that this is my perspective, but you know what your best interests are. I do not. As the professional, as the person who's in this industry, I just wanted to give you my perspective, but in the end, the decision is up to you. If you handle things like that, you become an advisor. You become a trusted advisor versus somebody who's trying to sell something to somebody where they know that you're biased. If you are like, listen, here's your options. If you care more about saving money, we could go this way. If you care more about the quality of the product and longevity, we can go this way, depending on your situation. So let's talk about it. Let's once again build a relationship. Still feels like a long-lasting relationship, the start of a relationship versus a cold one-off transaction. Because every single one of you listening to this and me, we know what it's like to buy something and the feeling of being closed, of being sold, where you leave the interaction, you're like, that guy just swindled me. That woman just swindled me. I don't like that feeling. It was fake. They actually didn't give a shit. It was all an act. If you are an authentic human being and you genuinely care about people, you will go very far in life, as long as you can be kind and not nice. Being nice, I've found for a lot of people, is rooted in fear. Because if you're nice to everybody, you're actually scared of the reaction they might have if you need to call somebody out on their bullshit. So principle number two, or one of the principles of soul-centered selling, is be kind, not nice. I'll share one more with you. The next one that I think is very important is educate to elevate. That's the principle. What does it mean? I kind of touched on it in the previous be kind, not nice. I touched on it. When you are selling something to somebody, no matter what it is, it's very important, in my opinion, to educate them along the way. Because education, I have a little formula here, which I'm going to share with you. Let me just pull it up here. So education is very important because it builds value, right? Education builds value. And if you're not building value for the person, then why would they purchase your product or service? They wouldn't. It doesn't make any sense. So here's an equation I came up with to do with sales. Education plus confidence equals value. Value plus trust equals the sale. So if you are confident about what you are educating this person on while you're going through the process, so for example, when I sell coaching, I am educating them on how I think trauma works and what lens I'm looking at coaching them through so that we can build something together. We have a structure that we are working on together. Rather than just coaching somebody, I'm like, hey, the reason I asked that question is because I see trauma based as a vine that weaves itself through our lives. And right now you are angry all the time. The reason why you are angry all the time is because there's something that happened in the past, which is some kind of wound that every time life shows you some kind of version or some kind of reminder of that original feeling, it compounds on itself. So we have these little pockets of emotion that have happened maybe from when you were 7, 13, 17, 27, and now you're 43. And the reason why you react so strongly is because it's like a compound effect. It's like looking in a garden and a certain plant is overgrown in the garden and it's choking up everything else. So when life gives you some kind of taste of that feeling, it unleashes the entire dam. And by explaining an analogy like that to somebody I'm coaching, they can understand that, okay, they have an education on it now. I'm actually teaching them something about how they can view whatever it is they're going through. And now we are working on something together. I'm giving somebody a structure, a framework to tie the understanding so they have an awareness around what it is they are feeling and why they are feeling it. That's coaching. When I sell vehicles, I will teach somebody in depth about how credit works, how they can build their credit, what utilization to keep it under for their credit cards, how they can pay off the vehicle early, how having a vehicle on their credit report can look really good if they want to get other types of financing, things like that. You have to educate somebody with confidence to provide value. And if you have value plus trust, you are now the professional and now they trust the professional. So if they trust you and what you are saying, why would they not buy from you? A lot of salespeople go wrong is the trust is then ruined because maybe they don't have the education or maybe they're not confident. So they might have the education, but they can't communicate it with confidence. So therefore, the person comes across as like, does this person even believe what they're saying at all? Or are they just, if they're not confidently sharing it, then nobody's going to buy into you because you don't even buy into you. So therefore, the first part of that equation, which is the confidence part, is now eroded, where therefore the value is not being built. And if the value is not being built, then if you try to continue along this process, it's not going to go very well. It's really not going to go very well. So I did want to end it there. Obviously, this is just a little sneak peek into what I'm building right now, and I'll keep you updated with this, but soul-centered selling is something that I really look forward to teaching. And I really think if you as a human being, no matter what industry you're in, if you understand some of these principles, you can really apply it to any industry. Because one of my favorite sayings is methods are many, principles are few. Methods always change, principles never do. So if I can teach somebody the principles, or if you can learn the principles behind things, then it doesn't matter what industry you're in, doesn't matter who you're talking to, it does not matter because the principles never, ever change. Love you guys. We'll talk to you next week. Hope you enjoyed this episode.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Mental Dietitian Podcast. If you found any value at all, please share this with a family member or a friend, or just a guy or a gal walking down the street, just anybody at all. If you feel like it could help them and benefit them from the conversations that we're having, it would mean the world to me if you could also leave a review. It helps grow the show. It helps the algorithms. And I also do love connecting with my listeners. So please reach out to me on social media. The best way to get a hold of me is through Instagram. And my Instagram handle is Aaron Lynch Potter. And that's spelled A-H-R-E-N LYNCHPOTTER. Thank you so much once again.